It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026. Man, like we were saying yesterday on the show, we're already 6 months into the year. What the heck? There's only 12 months, you know.
Only.
I'm just saying. Now, you've been on the job, since March,
yes,
right?
3 months.
Well, I'm going to introduce my guest first before I get any nasty grams, right? Veronica Shore is here. Normally, it would be Carol Brown from WACOG, but Veronica Shore is here. If that name's familiar, well, you've done your research, that's for sure. She's the executive director at the Western Arizona Council of Governments.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me.
This is like an honor, actually.
Aw, thank you.
I just interviewed Senate President Warren Peterson, who's running for Attorney General, and I'm like, okay, I'm going from a recorded interview to live with you, and I mean,
now I'm nervous.
Carol testifies in front of Congress.
Mm-hmm. You know, she's incredible.
U.S. Congress, and that is that the sort of work that you would be expected to do as well?
Maybe. I'm gonna leave Carol to be the expert doing that. You
sure.
know, why change a great thing? She's really fantastic, and I'll join when I have to. I've done it before. I'm a social worker, so I've spent plenty of times in the state capitol and in D.C. advocating for different community projects. So
I know we really didn't script the whole beginning of the interview, but we're just kind of scratching the surface here. We will be talking about the Area Agency on Aging, which is what we do a lot with Carol. Carol will be hosting an event next week, a week from today, it looks like, June 9th. It's a Tuesday, and then Monday, June 8th as well, at The Views. So 2 days in a row, and this is...
Yes, so it's Elder Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month,
right,
which means that Carol and her staff are hitting the floor running, and they're hosting a lot of seminars across the Western Arizona to really raise awareness on elder abuse and prevention. So next week they have an event Monday, June 8th here at The Views from 2 to 4, and they're going to be presenting on elder abuse, know the signs. So they're going to be talking about what are the signs you should be looking for to know if somebody that you love is being abused. And there's all types of abuses.
I have the signs right here.
Oh, yeah. What are they?
I've got my resources right. I told you I was a resource development guy, so
you
I'm resourceful. We've talked about those at great length with Carol, and she's definitely very well versed in her field. But I want to talk about Veronica.
Oh, sure.
All right. So I just found this was really interesting. I said, where are you from? You said Yuma, and I said, no, I know you drove up from Yuma, but where are you from? I didn't realize people were from Yuma.
Yes.
Originally. What happened after that, being from Yuma? You ventured outside the city.
Yes, born and raised in Yuma, and then I decided to follow my high school sweetheart to Tucson,
aww,
Arizona, right? And I said, I'm never going back to Yuma ever in my life again. And I actually spent about 15 years in Tucson. I was there. I went to U of A and decided that I'd rather be a Sun Devil. So I switched over to ASU. They had a social work campus in Tucson, a satellite campus. So I got my bachelor's in social work and I got my master's in social work, and I worked at Pima Community College there for quite some time, and then decided it was time to go back home to Yuma. So the library hired me as a program development officer, so I went straight into grant writing. I had a really strong background in grant writing.
Look
and,
at you!
Yeah, and grants management. Mm. So I spent some time there. Then the Community Foundation came knocking on my door, and I've spent the last decade at the Community Foundation. So I've been in philanthropy for the last decade.
Wow. So obviously you're not in social work, which was,
right,
which was what you studied. You almost drifted away from it, right, when
yes,
you get into grant writing
so,
and that.
So I kept my toes wet because I was still,
oh,
so ASU has an online program and an in-person program in Yuma now. So I've been teaching social work for 5 years now. So I've kind of always been a little bit in there. And I've been teaching policy, advocacy, and program evaluation and
wow,
all of this fun social work stuff.
What are the, we're getting away from WACOG,
oh,
here
sure,
a little
sure,
bit, which
yeah,
is fine. But no, I want to know, from a professional standpoint, how challenging today? Now it just seems like there's more acceptable forms of behavior. There's gender challenges in that, correct?
Right.
Social workers have to deal with all of that now,
yes,
right? So how challenging is that from what you were taught in school?
You know, it's deviated greatly.
Right.
Because the dynamics of families have changed so much. So one of the things that I've realize that the social work program does now, not only do they teach the social work skills, but they're teaching self-care even more for the social workers. So
really?
So taking care of yourself, taking professional development classes, so that you know how to navigate all of the situations that come to you. As a social worker, you're meant to help anyone that comes knocking on your door without prejudices or
mm-hmm,
biases.
Mm-hmm.
So that's keeping yourself on check is really important. And that means taking time off when you need it, taking professional development classes. It's a very interesting way of doing social work now.
Did you have a chance at all to take your, you know, after you got your degree, maybe some sort of work study or whatever, to go into neighborhoods and actually, you know, do a social work, a type of study?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
really?
When I was doing my program, we did the homeless count. We went to go feed people. I actually worked in a domestic violence shelter for about a year.
Wow.
And that is, talk about hard social work. That is hard social
That's
work.
That's boots on the ground social work,
yeah,
right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did a lot of direct practice. When I first graduated from college with my BSW, I worked at Child and Family Resources.
Oh,
I don't.
Wow.
Do you guys have that here? Maybe.
We have all three cities.
Yeah,
sure.
I did Healthy Families, so I was doing a lot of in-home visitations. So I got to do. I tell my staff now at WACOG, just because I'm coming in as the executive director does not mean I don't have the boots on the ground experience.
Right.
So I've been sharing that a lot with them. Like I hear a lot of the home visitors who are like, well, we're walking into these maybe not safe homes, and I'm like, oh, you know what, actually I have a story for you, like, so
right,
it's a lot of that, a lot of understanding.
Well you have people that come in, they're under, we call them underserved now, right?
Right.
It's no longer needy,
right?
It's just not a good name to say. When you're writing a grant, you don't want to say needy.
Talk about the terms changing,
right? It's the underserved population, right?
Right,
so we're on the same wavelength, you
right,
and I.
Yes,
it's perfect. But when they come into your offices, there's clean furniture, clean carpet, clean air. There's no, it looks like the staff have no needs whatsoever, right? Is that something that is kind of intimidating to those people that you serve at WACOG, do you notice?
You know, actually, it's kind of funny you bring that up because when I walked into the WACOG office, it was actually very bare bones. Basic. It looked like a social work agency,
Surprised?
A little bit because I come from corporate now, right? Like, I come from a corporate office where everything looks super, super, super nice. So I've actually, these last 3 months, I've been driving everybody crazy because I've like put a mural on one of the walls that acknowledges our Head Start program. It's a wall wrap, which is really nice. I put our logo, like a sticker logo, on the wall, and I've put our mission statement on the wall. And it's visual reminders to the staff that we are working in a really hard organization, but it doesn't mean we can't look nice, right?
Right, and it promotes ownership.
Yes. So that's really what I've been driving everyone crazy with these last 3 months.
You're one of those people, you want to change the culture.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, for sure.
You know, we're not the needy ones here. I mean, you have the home field advantage. You don't want to show opulence, but at the same time.
Well, we're each other's clients too, right? Either staff work with each other. They go across different programs working with each other. So I want to make sure that everyone that works for WACOG feels really proud of working for WACOG. And that includes just changing the culture a little bit about what it is. So we had a building dedication last week for Mr. B, who's retiring after 52 years.
Who's Mr. B?
Mr. Brian Babiars. He's the executive director.
Oh,
so he's the former executive director.
He was never here.
Yeah, well, you know.
We had Rob Fram.
Yes.
And Mia Armenta.
Uh-huh.
And we had, of course, Carol.
Yeah,
and there was somebody from Kingman, and she's since left. I don't remember her name.
Okay,
but.
I wouldn't know who that is. But
right.
Mr. B is close to 90 years old, so he's ready to retire. And so we had a building dedication for him because he is the reason why WACOG exists today. And it was really nice to have people from the community in our office seeing all the fun changes I've made.
So I went on your website and I noticed I've never done this in all the time we've been dealing with WACOG as a guest. It struck me you have a donation button.
We do. Please donate to us.
I thought that was a little odd, though.
Yes.
Why do you think it's odd?
I just
thought of you as a government agency.
You know,
but you're really not, are you?
We're a council of governments, which it's very misleading because it says government in our name. So you think we're we are majorly federally and state funded. Mm-hmm. However, we do take donations for our programs because there is great need. So.
I think this is a mission statement. It's on the about page on your website.
Okay, what does it say?
On WACOG.com. We are a government nonprofit serving low-income households in Arizona's La Paz, Mojave, and Yuma counties. As a designated community action agency, Head Start provider, and area agency on aging, we provide services that support people and communities in achieving self-sufficiency. We strive to eradicate the causes of poverty by identifying community needs, mobilizing resources, coordinating services, administering programs, and providing systematic advocacy. And that was a cold read, by the way.
Good for you. For
thank you.
It sounds like you do radio or something.
A little bit. You have to be deliberate, right?
Yes.
Is that close to a mission statement?
That is pretty close. Actually, yesterday I was stating the mission statement. It's our mission statement is to. Now I'm not going to remember.
It's only been 3 months.
But
you're fine.
But it's pretty much what we're about. What you just read, and we are the Head Start provider, the AAA, we help with utilities. There's so much that WACOG does. I'm barely like touching the tip of the iceberg in these last 3 months.
I wrote that down as a note. What has the learning curve been like?
You know, being in philanthropy for 10 years and then jumping back into social work, it was almost muscle memory, right?
Oh,
it
sure.
was like, okay, I know this. I can do this. The biggest learning curve for me is having 300 staff to manage.
My weakness, I'll admit, I've been asked to like run a food bank, for example.
Sure.
I don't have any budget experience.
Oh, okay.
Are you the same way, or do you have?
No, I have a lot of budget experience. You know, in philanthropy, as you know, making every dollar count is really, really important.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I have a lot of budget experience.
Maybe I do.
maybe you do.
Just not managing one for an organization.
Yeah. One of the things that right now that I'm really pushing WACOG is like, give me your program budgets. What are your program budgets?
Uh-huh.
Let let me review your program budgets. And I have the best finance team, and all of the program managers are very excellent at managing their budgets. So I really don't have to do much. I'm very fortunate.
Are you on the federal fiscal year, or are you?
I believe so.
Or would it be July, maybe?
Well, we start July 1st.
Yeah, that's, yeah, so okay, that's different. That's I think that's state.
Yeah.
Yeah, or not, I don't know. Every nonprofit I know, or city, or municipality, or county starts July that I know of. So
yeah,
there you go. All right. How much do you get to work with the government entities, like say the county of Yuma or the city, or it would be both, right?
So my
city
entire
and county of Yuma.
My entire board is made up of elected officials from La Paz, Mojave, and Yuma County. So I get to meet with them every other month, and I run all of our ideas and programs and everything through them. They were just at my building dedication last week. So in philanthropy, I worked with them a lot too, so it's just like a seamless transition.
We know some of the same people then, we will. How often do you get to Mojave or La Paz counties?
I was actually here like a month ago, and I'm back, so I'm hoping to spend a little bit more time over here.
That's what Carol said. She spends a little bit of time here.
The drive is not bad at all.
No, it's really not.
Yeah,
and it's a straight shot.
Yeah,
yeah. I found that from football. And oh, you have a son as well.
Yeah, I have a 16-year-old son who's at Somerton High School and plays basketball. I know we were talking sports a little bit.
He plays ball.
Yeah.
And you're a sports fan.
I'm a sports fan, yes.
Okay, I got to ask you then, for football.
Okay.
Who's your football team?
Well, it has to be the Cardinals. I'm an Arizona girl.
That's right. That's right. Good answer.
But I'll tell you what, this morning, before I got on the road to come here, I was on the Nike sneakers app to get the new Devin Booker sneakers with the McDonald's collaboration. So I did not get on the road until I got my sneaker.
That's amazing. That rip for you or for your son?
No, for me.
That's amazing.
I may have gotten him a pair, but don't tell him.
You're a big D-Book fan?
Yes.
Wow.
Big Suns fan. We're a big basketball family.
Right. So. You know, we weren't too sure here, and we're a Suns affiliate.
Okay,
here,
yeah.
So we weren't too sure here about the acquisition of the new owner in that.
Yeah.
So,
that's been good.
It's starting to work out. I don't know.
We try to go to at least three or four
basketball
games a year.
Good for you.
It's so much fun.
Uh-huh.
It is so much fun.
Now, here's the really weird part, because we have Brian Springberg, who is a financial, certified financial planner. He does a weekly or biweekly segment. He sits right there.
Oh, fun.
For, you know, business and investing in that. He went to U of A.
Okay.
You went to ASU.
Yes.
But you started at U of A.
I did.
How in the heck did you pull that off?
Oh, man. So I stayed in Tucson, and because ASU had a satellite campus in Tucson, I was able to jump over to their social work program.
Oh.
U of A does not have an accredited social work program.
That's interesting.
They have a family studies program, but not an accredited social work program. So I had to make the jump, but I am a proud, proud Sun Devil through and through. Don't throw eggs at me.
I'm surprised you're not a Lope.
Oh, right, yeah.
You could have gone to Grand Canyon.
I could have.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in the early thousands, it wasn't
probably
that big.
Yeah, you're probably right. But but Dan Marley coached there, right?
Yeah.
Are you an old Suns fan?
Yeah, well, in the early
vintage
thousands.
Suns.
Vintage Suns.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so the Amari.
Yeah.
The Amari teams. I got you. All right, we're going to take a short break. I didn't get your music of choice. We always ask people what they want to hear for bumper music.
Okay.
So I'll get that during the break.
Sure.
And go to a little Chuck Berry, because everybody likes Chuck Berry anyway,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course.
So I have a feeling, I'm thinking you're leaning towards hip-hop, but I'm not sure yet. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out, 928-854-5687. We are live in the studio, 928-854-KNTR, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. All right, we'll be back with more on Speak Out. We're with Veronica Shore. She is the executive director of WACOG. Back with more in a moment.
Oh,
you got me started now. You know that, Veronica, right? Why Benny and the Jets?
Oh, you know, my son's name is Benjamin. That's so
after this song?
Yeah, not after the song, but, you know, we play it for him.
Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty. Benjamin Shore?
Benjamin Shore.
That would be a fun one to announce. I like doing basketball arena announcing, like, Benjamin Shore.
Oh, I like it.
That's cool, right? So I'm going to tell you guys about a meet and greet that's going on today at two different locations. But I'll get to that after we tell you that Speak Out is brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet by Salmon's Air Conditioning. Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. And from the mind of Dallas Finch, one of our other sponsors, by the way, Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo here on Main Street. It's the name of the place, Booby Falls. Great pizza, sandwiches, and salads. Home to the Booby Dropper, Main Street in Havasu. And don't forget to check out the Speak Out archive, kntrtalk.com. Go to the Speak Out tab. And the event that's coming up tonight, this afternoon, at 4 p.m., Warren Peterson, who is endorsed by Congressman Andy Biggs and gubernatorial candidate Andy Biggs, will be at Summer Ray here in Lake Havasu City. And it's a meet and greet. And then it says here, vote July 31st. Of course, that's the primary.
Right.
And you have early voting is the 21st.
24th. Maybe
it's
different.
Wednesday. That's
okay.
The weird thing.
Okay.
I have to look at my calendar, which is currently being used by Spotify. So, anyway, that's at 4 o'clock is Summer Ray. At 6 o'clock is the Cigar Bar, Lake Havasu Cigars on McCulloch, of course, Main Street here in Havasu. Another meet and greet. So if it's too early at 4, just go home, change, spruce up a little bit, and go meet Warren Peterson. He's actually a really cool guy.
Oh, nice.
It's really. I asked for his music choice.
What did he choose?
I don't want to say on the air, but it was, well, because of certain things that have happened since the Super Bowl and that kind of thing, I just thought it was very funny that was his. I had no idea who the artist was. And then later, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Did they perform at the Super Bowl? Now I'm trying
I'm not saying a word. So anyway, we're back with Veronica Shore. She's the executive director of WACOG. And you've got hiring events going on.
Yeah, so
right now
we are in full season of hiring for our Head Start program. So every year we have to hire new teachers and center staff for Head Start. And we're going to be at the Arizona at Work Job Center event tomorrow from 10 to 2 mm-hmm. at 2031 Spar Circle.
Here in Havasu. What, there's one today, though, right?
Oh, there's one today in Bullhead.
Right.
From 10 to 2, so it's happening right now.
Is that on Hancock Road?
It's 2601 Highway 95.
Oh, okay.
So please, and then we have one on Kingman on June 4th from 10 to 2 on 700 West Beale Street. But please go visit us at any of the three job center locations. We are amazing at WACOG. Come work for us. Come have fun.
I would think with Head Start, especially that a social work background would do you a lot of good.
Yes, but you actually need some credentials.
Teaching?
Child development, not necessarily a teaching certification, not for all positions. Go ask them when you come visit us at the job center.
I could probably teach high school math about maybe junior, senior year.
Okay.
I'm not saying advanced, but I mean, I've had college calculus and statistics and that, but no, I mean the level of maturity that I would need to deal with.
Yes.
I don't think I could do Head Start, but I could do history too.
I walked into my third week on the job. I visited the Kingman Head Start Centers. And I walked in and the kids just came swarming towards me, like 25 kids screaming. And I was a little taken aback, but they were so excited because I had my nails like bright pink and they wanted to see my nails.
It's been a while since you've had to deal with children that young.
I do have a 7-year-old.
So you do?
Let me name him Thomas.
I
do love.
Right. All right.
I always talk about my golden boy, my 16-year-old, but I do have a 7-year-old son.
Thomas will have his moment too, and he'll probably have a better jumper, right?
Yes. I'll have to come up with a good song for him now.
For Thomas?
For Thomas.
Oh, We'll figure that. Maybe it'll be by Thomas Dolby. Who knows,
yeah,
right?
I like it. but so it's, I have a, you know, he's seven, so uh-huh. I have, but I've, it's been a quite a time since preschool age. So he actually didn't get to go to preschool because he was one of my COVID babies, right? So it was when the COVID years were happening. So, oh man.
You are the perfect person to talk to about this then.
Okay.
Because you have a 16-year-old who was 10 when COVID was going on. And was he distance learning, hybrid? What was going on?
They were doing distance learning. They had a little iPad.
And how did that work for him? You always hear every student's different.
You know, he was very fidgety, and he did not like sitting down for a lot of the time. So we got a trampoline, and he would go out in the backyard and jump on the trampoline. And we had a little pool, so we'd jump in the pool and then come back and finish school. It was really hard.
Were you stuck? Were you locked down then from the job that you had?
So the foundation sent us all home. So we worked from home for 3 years. So I was at home so much with those boys that we lived in a 3-bedroom condo. It was about maybe 1,200 square feet. And I thought, oh, my God, I never wanted to be a homeowner because that means I'm staying in Yuma forever,
upstairs,
right?
Upstairs or downstairs?
Downstairs.
Oh, thank goodness for your neighbor.
Thankfully, yeah. So I thought, the pandemic pushed me to buy a home because I needed a big backyard for the boys to go run around in, and I was going crazy.
That's a great segue, by the way, because WACOG offers homeowners assistance, right?
Yes, we have many programs.
Home buyer's assistance.
Right. We help with a lot of USDA funding. We do some down payment assistance, some rental assistance. We really help with a lot of home access.
Do you get to get out and see those presentations? Like what I know you didn't work with Mia, but what Mia used to do, she's no stranger to this program. So
not yet. Okay. I'm working that in my first 6 months. So my first 3 months at WACOG were to just know the culture of the office, and now I'm going to start going out into the community and seeing these presentations. Like I think I want to come back to these presentations that Carol's doing next week.
So, yeah, we had Mia Armenta on the program, and it was for down payment assistance. Mm-hmm. And there were 3 or 4 different courses in 3 or 4 different cities. And we had people text if they wanted a flyer.
Oh, nice.
I ended up texting out about 8 flyers.
Wow.
I took a picture, but I sent it out to about 8 people.
Yeah, please call us and find out more. Go on our website. We have a lot of information on there. And my staff is so incredible. They really help from applying and understanding what a loan is and what your credit score and income needs to be at. And it's not as difficult as people think it is.
It's
like,
not.
One of the reasons why I didn't buy a home for the longest time was because I was afraid of going through the loan process and what I needed. And it was actually super simple. So
it can be very stressful on a relationship, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know if you had that same experience or not.
No. I'm a single mom.
That's good. Excellent. But, no, it can. I know when I was married, that was one of the most stressful times I can remember.
So I did date a real estate agent who actually dealt with a lot of that. Like he would be like, well, the wife likes this house and the husband doesn't like this house. Or the husband qualifies and the wife doesn't. And the wife qualifies and the husband doesn't. And it's a lot of that.
You know, that brings up a good point, too, because when you buy a home, you can't have two meetings. When are both of you home together?
Yes.
When you're getting facts and figures and stats and IRS info
everything
and that from a couple, do you like to see them together or does it matter?
For WACOG, they have to come in together, hopefully, or bring all the documentation. So I got to shadow the front desk who do all of our triaging. And the front desk girls in Yuma, they are so good at collecting all of the paperwork that you need. They will give you a check sheet of everything you should bring so that you're not running around back and forth. So they'll walk you through the entire process.
I got you. Before we go to break, I want to talk about these hiring events.
Yes.
And they're going on now. When does school start, preschool, and when should people get all their info in or get an interview or whatever they have to do with WACOG before securing a position?
We are applying now. Apply now. We're reviewing applications right now. We're going to be interviewing in the next couple of weeks. And then school starts, our hirees start at the end of July.
Okay, perfect. We're going to take our next break, our second break, the hour. And again from Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Elton John, this is Funeral for a Friend,
like
and it goes into Love Lies Bleeding. And I was telling you in the break, the first time I saw Elton John at the Aladdin in Vegas was Halloween night, and he opened with this.
Nice.
It was incredible. And I'm a huge Elton John fan when I was a teenager. So
I love that.
All right. Veronica Shore, our guest, executive director at Waycock. We're getting kind of lonely. Text the question in 928-727-5566. Or better yet, make this talk radio, not just listen radio.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You ever heard that before?
No.
Exactly. It's an original. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. Hey, Diamondbacks are hot.
Yes.
Well, they weren't, and now they are.
Yes.
Well, they were what? Everybody said they're so good. They're beating all these teams. No, they beat the Giants and the Rockies, folks. They swept the Giants. Woo! Right?
Yeah.
But you come into the Dodgers series after a sweep in Seattle, and you're expecting the worst. And we won last night. I say we because I played for them, right?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But no, and a weak pitcher tonight.
Nice.
ERA well over 6 for the Dodgers. And I can't remember who's pitching for the D-backs, but that game, the pregame is at 6:30 and first pitch 7:10 here. Not here, but on KNTR Sports. And that's our sports station.
Oh, nice.
980 AM, 100.5 FM, and 94.3 here in Lake Havasu City and Kingman. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Go D-backs.
Go.
That one, Veronica, gets a little racy.
Yeah.
With the call girls under the table. You're talking about the Tower of Babel, right?
Right.
It is my all-time favorite, though.
Yeah.
Elton John song. So the hardcore Speak Out audience, which consists of 16 or 17 listeners,
okay,
knows that. So Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, also Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost, Solar Power by Esme Electric, little Davey Johnson on lead guitar. Also, Legacy Rehab and Care, A&B Propane, online at abpropaneaz.com. And don't forget the primary candidates form. It's on Wednesday, June 17th. We're carrying it live. I am kind of co-hosting. I'm the designated question askerer.
Oh, I like that.
That's what Brandon from the newspaper, that's what we say. We're the question askers.
You're the question askers.
Yes. Askerers. Absolutely. Live on 106.75 and 3, the voice of the free, and also streaming live at KNTR Talk. And don't forget to buy local, or it is buy local.
Oh,
so,
like okay.
You guys do that in Yuma?
We do. Yuma's very supportive
very
of small
local
businesses and shop local, yes.
So it is, we are here to talk about the Area Agency on Aging, and it is Elder Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month.
Yes.
Or did I get that backwards?
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter.
It's just be aware and prevent it.
Is this something, with your social work background, is this something that you were trained in, elder abuse?
You know, I didn't specifically go down that route, but because I've had students who work in social work, I've learned a little bit about it. And my parents are older, so just even by life experience, right? But there's many ways that abuse can happen, and it includes physical abuse, neglect, mistreatment. It could be emotional, financial is the biggest one, right, that we hear about all the time, mm-hmm. especially from Carol. Neglect, and verbal and emotional abuse. So we always think about calling Child Protective Services for kids, but there is an Adult Protective Services as well, and it's there for a reason.
Is there a particular number or an easy way to remember how to contact the Adult Protective Services?
You know,
I don't even know. CPS.
1-877-SOS-ADULT.
Or if it's life-threatening, obviously you would call 911.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can always go on the azdes.gov website to report adult abuse.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is it, okay, so this is Awareness Month. What are the signs we're looking for as far, and, I mean, it could be your neighbor, too, right? Not just a relative.
Right. So if there's people that you see making decisions about an older person's life that are not in their best interest. You know, your neighbor suddenly has changes in behavior. There's unusual changes in spending or money management, unexplained physical injuries, unexplained sexually transmitted diseases, unhealthy or unsafe living conditions. Those are just some of the major signs.
So, okay, even though you see something like that, like with mismanagement of money, is it a sign of elder abuse, or is that actual elder abuse, that their money's being mismanaged?
It's both, right?
Okay, so, no, I didn't know.
So maybe you have a neighbor who
all of a sudden they have a new car.
Exactly. Or they have a new car and then they don't have it the week after, but their grandson is driving it or somebody else. Oh. Or, you know, the neighbor helping or little things like that. The biggest problem with elder abuse is that a lot of them are really reluctant to report it because they're ashamed of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're an adult and you don't want to report that you're being abused. And I have a personal story to share. So my father is a little bit older, and he was sending money via Western Union to this family that was helping him, I don't know with what, but he was going to get rich. So it was an investment that he was making.
Overseas or here?
It was in Jamaica.
Oh, no kidding.
Through Western Union, and this was in the early thousands, he sent close to $40,000 over to them. And this is Western Union allowed all of this to happen. So in the late, in 2018, 2019, there was a lawsuit against Western Union by the FTC and a few other people.
Oh.
And so when I asked my dad about the monies, because my mom had told me that he had been sending monies,
uh-huh.
he's like, oh, don't worry about it. That's none of your business. And I said, look, I need to tell you something. I need to show you a video. And I showed him a video of the scammers, right? And he just broke down crying. And I said, do you have any proof that you sent this money? And he pulls out a shoebox from the garage full of all of the Western Union receipts.
Wow.
Of the money he had sent, close to over $30,000.
Sure.
I had like manually inputted every single receipt into the FTC or I can't remember what it was, Federal Trade Commission website.
Yeah.
And he got reimbursed like $15,000
back
from that lawsuit.
Yeah.
But it was like he was so shameful, so ashamed to bring that box to me. And I just, from then on, I actually monitor all of their bank accounts, all of their spending, all of their mail. I will literally pick up their mail from the post office and deliver it to them after I've looked into it because I have to watch out after
them. Is this your mom and dad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
And my mom's
that?
Fairly young, but,
yeah.
You know, she's still. So yesterday I had a fun experience with my 17-year-old.
Oh.
I showed him a video of this man doing some gardening, and it, of course it fast forwarded so the plants grew really quickly, and I'm like, isn't that cool? And he's like, Mom, that's AI.
Oh,
he
right.
said, that's AI. And I'm like looking at him like, I knew it was AI, but he was like, you're easily being fooled, Mom, by AI. So all of these elder abuse problems are only going to get worse with AI being so prevalent now.
Yeah, there's a constructive use of it.
Yeah.
I saw my profile photo on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
There's a new thing where they animate it.
Oh, fun.
No, it looked like I was actually posing and moved to the side of our profile. It was like, ooh, I got a nice profile, right? But I'm not. And I didn't enact it or enable it or anything like that. There's the constructive use, but then there's the nefarious use.
Yes, because you know, some elderly folks will get calls from from, oh, we've kidnapped your grandson who was on vacation in Cancun. You need to send us $5,000.
Yeah, I want to hear his voice.
Yeah, exactly.
And they produce it.
And they produce it. Grandma, I need help. Or, you know, so it's very scary. And I, to all of you that are out there that are adults and you feel like you've been victimized, please reach out. Please call 911 and tell them what's going on. Nobody's going to judge you. They're going to help you. I've seen, like, this lady who called 911 because, you know, those Bitcoin machines in the gas stations? This lady kept buying them, she had already bought over $130,000 of Bitcoin that she was sending the information to somebody overseas. And when the cops got there and they hung up, the scammers on the phone were screaming, like, don't talk to us. We want to talk to this lady. And, yeah, they had already taken $130,000 worth from her.
Well, just in case you were wondering, I think you said Jamaica?
Yeah.
It's the number one industry that's not above board in Jamaica. There's a lot of people in the ghettos there that's their ticket out is working as a scammer in one of those. They're like a boilerplate.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
Yeah,
right?
It really is.
And it's easy for them because they can't empathize. They can't know who they're hurting. And people are losing millions and billions of dollars. The biggest one is the romantic scam, right? When you have elderly people who, we are not supposed to call them elderly anymore. Oh. Older people. When you have older people.
Youthfully
challenged. You said that, not me.
I did.
you know, they're lonely. They're lonely and, there's a lot of single, older folks, and they think that they're on Facebook, they're on social media, and this young hot girl or guy starts talking to them, and they fall in love, and they start sending them all of their money until they have zero savings.
Right.
So then the love is gone, and so is the money, right?
I mean, there's 401ks being depleted.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's a gambling problem in this country, but there's also a big scam problem in this country right now. So how does WACOG, can you report things to WACOG, or are you just on the education end of it?
We're just on the education end of it. And I'm sure if you were to talk to any of my staff, they'd walk you through the reporting process because they're all incredibly amazing. But please call any of my staff members in AAA, the Area Agency on Aging. They are the experts in all of this. I'm just the messenger.
Oh, I got you. And the number I have, anyway, is the main number, 928-782-1886.
Yes, and in Mojave, you can call 928-377-4961.
Okay. Are there employment opportunities with WACOG in general?
Always.
If you're from Mojave County.
Always. Go on our website under careers. We have openings there. Right now, the most prevalent ones are Head Start, just because we're in the middle of Head Start recruitment. But we definitely are always hiring.
I thought you were going to say grant writing.
Oh, grant writing, no.
I'm kidding.
You can't come apply yet.
No. This is the last stop, I think.
Oh, you think so?
So, yeah, at my age, probably pretty much.
You know, I'm a grant writer, too.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Right, at the beginning of the show, too.
Yeah, so I'm a 20-year grant writer.
Do you miss it?
No.
Me neither.
No.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot more accountability now, isn't there?
Yes.
Especially with reporting.
Well, now that I've been on the funder side, you know, working at the Community Foundation, I like giving money away more than I like asking for it.
But you know, too, that you can't get a no if you don't ask.
Exactly.
Exactly. There you go, right?
Right.
So a little more Elton John. This is for those lonely hearts out there, right? Just don't fall prey to a scam.
Exactly.
All right? This is your song, Elton John, and Veronica Shore, Executive Director of WACOG. What a great hour. It went fast, didn't it?
Yes, it's already gone.
You're like, I drove up here for this?
No, it's been a great time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot and remind you, too, about the meet and greets with Warren Peterson, president of the Arizona Senate and running for Arizona Attorney General. He's in town, folks. Yeah, I interviewed him earlier. He'll actually be on next week. We'll play that interview. And I'll come back with a little bit of a schedule and tell you how you can find out more about who's going to be on Speak Out, politically anyway, when I come back. Stay with us on Speak Out.
And you can tell everybody, this is the song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. I was just in a little conversation and talking about the next time that Veronica will be on the program. And, of course, we have WACOG here every couple of months. So I've got music here that's totally unrelated. I'm going to have Marissa cue up some Elton John that we had on earlier. And I'll tell you right now about the meet and greet with Warren Peterson. Again, that is this afternoon at Marissa's favorite place to play, Summer Rae, right? One of them. One of her favorite places to play, which is Summer Rae, and it is today from 4 to 6 p.m. You just come out and meet Warren Peterson. He's a really nice guy, folks. I don't endorse, but he's endorsed by Congressman Andy Biggs, and of course, Andy Biggs also running for governor for the state of Arizona. And let's see, who do we have tomorrow? We've got the Havasu Pioneers radio show. I don't have my calendar on me, so Marissa has it actually on my phone in her hand. So, did you find something?
Yeah.
You sure? And it's not Bruce Springsteen? Because then I would get in trouble, right? We have to hit the play button, right? Thank you. And then, if you would, Miss Assistant, please bring up my calendar. So, oh, you don't know where it is. It's over here. Oh, boy. What's that? It would be, yeah, the Pioneers, and then we have Ron Gould. No, I'm sorry. We have Gina Swoboda, of course. This Thursday, Gina Swoboda is going to be on for the entire hour. And then we have Michelle Lynn on Friday, and who else is there? CEO Dave Heath, of course, from the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Colorado River. The incoming CEO, or the new CEO, the old CEO that took over the CEO position. There you go. Dave's going to call in on Friday. All right. Whew. Luckily, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.